The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is going to be calling in a little bit later. She's out on a show and shine this morning. She may come sliding through here though on her way out. But good morning, everybody. It's the 25th of April. The news was brought to us by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week for your convenience. Greatest walk-in humidor in Northern California. What's it look like for weather there, Bad Bob?
Get ready. Oh, man. We are going to see a high today under sunny skies near 90 degrees, overnight low 57, 84 tomorrow, and a chance of showers moving in on Friday. So quite the mixed bag this week. Right now in Redding, we have 54 degrees and definitely rising. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
A veteran-owned business out of Anderson, California, and they give discounts for seniors and veterans. 365-3793 is how you reach them. Now, we have a very busy day today. We're starting out with one of my favorite musicals of all time. And we're talking, of course, about Les Mis from the Shasta High School. And with us is Tisha Russo, who is the assistant director and the choreographer for this magnificent musical that's getting ready to start. Good morning.
Good morning.
Getting a little bit closer there. Okay, turn her up a little bit. Okay, you brought some of the cast here with you.
I do. Yeah. I have a bunch of talented kids here.
Okay, look at me when we're talking here. When you talk to them, everybody hears the echo. You know what? I heard you out there rehearsing one of your songs you're going to sing today, and it just happens to be my favorite of the whole musical.
That's great.
Yeah, I was going, oh, yeah. So I just stopped doing whatever I was doing and and just listened for a while, and then all of a sudden it was time to come on. Okay, tell us a little bit about the play.
We are so excited to bring you Les Mis. Les Mis is a beautifully tragic story set in the mid-1800s. After 19 years in prison, Jean Valjean is freed by Javert, the officer in charge of the prison workforce. Valjean promptly breaks parole, but later uses money from stolen silver to reinvent himself as a mayor and factory owner. But Javert vows to bring Valjean back to prison. 8 years later, Valjean becomes the guardian of a child named Cosette after her mother, Fantine, dies. Along the way, you meet the Thénardiers, who bring a little comic relief, Enjolras, who leads the student rebellion, and Éponine and Marius and Cosette, who all have a little love triangle. So we're so excited. We have wonderful costumes, beautiful sets, a rotating stage, live orchestra.
Are we going to be storming? Are we going to have the battle in the streets?
Yes, we have an amazing battle at the barricades.
Who are the two? Who are my two that pickpocket? Are you any of those? Oh, there he is. And your bride?
Yeah.
Is she here?
She's actually not.
Oh, she's not here. Okay. Move on up here for a second. You can get right there. What's your name?
My name is Tyler Wakefield, actually, and I play Thénardier.
Okay. Now, this is such a rich part. Am I right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, can you be any lower than this guy?
Not really. Honestly, he's like the slum of the streets.
Oh, man. I tell you what. Scum is too high a word for this guy.
It probably is.
So how'd you get yourself into this piece?
It actually took a little bit to like start developing the character, but after a while, just like figuring out, like I watched a bunch of like stuff on it and like figured out a lot about it, and it's actually been really fun to like play as far as.
Oh, because you know you're probably not like that. I would hope otherwise. The young lady next to you would take a step away. No, she just did. In fact, because this guy is. But you know, it is such a part, and it's such a. You play such a pivotal part, and then you come back in again. And try to again take advantage of people.
That's my life.
Well, that's. Okay, so you don't look like this person, so I guess when we see you out there, I'll go, okay, he doesn't really seem like this guy. So how was this, doing this? I mean, you've got some talented people here.
We've had so much fun. We do. We have talented actors on stage. We have a live orchestra, amazing costumes. The people that are building and painting the sets are doing a fabulous job. So we're just really excited to pull it all together and bring it to you guys.
Okay, now, this is going to start when?
It runs May 3rd through 5th and 10th through 12th.
Okay. And we've got some tickets we're going to be giving away. Not right now because we want to meet everybody and have my bride come in, too. Yeah, come on in. And Linda just got, she's coming in for the show and shine today.
Well, I was excited because Les Mis is my favorite. Besides Evita, Les Mis is my favorite musical. I mean, such wonderful. I dreamed some classic songs that came that have come from this wonderful musical. So I think it's really ambitious and wonderful that you're taking this on. And I don't know, I'd like to hear from some of the students, too. What's it feel like? Because the parts are very intricate. The harmonies, the music, it's all in minor. A lot of it's in minor. What do you think?
Well, I think they're doing a fabulous job, and they are putting in so much time and effort, and hearing them on stage in rehearsals has been amazing. Brings you to tears.
Well, I tell you what, let's start with the young man behind you. Just tell us quickly your name and the part you're playing.
I'm Zane Murphy, and I play Jean Valjean.
Oh, okay. And, young lady?
I'm Annie Cahill. I play Eponine.
Okay.
I'm Grace Clements. I play Fontaine.
Ooh.
One more time, I'm Tyler Wakefield, and I play Thénardier.
I'm Maddie Spencer, and I'm playing Cosette.
I'm Sam Bowman, and I play Marius.
Okay, Cosette. You know what? A hero all the way to the end. Like that.
Yeah. How long did you have to study the storyline before you actually broke your book? Can somebody come up and talk to us about, did you watch the movie? Did you read the story? Did you do any history on that time of the revolution and that kind of thing?
I think, personally, we all probably watched all the films, and I know that there's a lot of videos out there with the 25th anniversary concert and the 10th anniversary concert, so I think we all watched people do it and really watched the masters. I think as far as research... I know there's a book out there, so I think some of us read different excerpts on our characters and exactly what went on and how we should really portray that time period and those characters.
Tell us about the audition process.
So at Shasta High, it's pretty supportive, and it's while we all, like, want certain parts, it's, like, it's not as competitive, and it doesn't really get too ruthless or anything. But, yeah, we all have, we all come in and we all audition for the same parts, and we do it in front of each other as well. It's not, like, alone in a room with a director, but we do it in front of each other so we can be supportive at the same time as we're, like, kind of competing for the roles.
That's great. You know what? I know you've all been practicing out there, or... You know, going through a couple. I mean, you've been. How long have you been rehearsing for this? Getting ready to kick it off next week.
We started rehearsals in February. Our auditions were in January.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Can you perform that song you were doing outside? Okay, move in. Okay, Kevin, move in around the around those. Okay.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
You know, this is absolutely, absolutely famous. And it's, you know, it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous musical, a play, musical, an endeavor over at Shasta High School. It's going to be May 3rd through the 5th and May 10th to the 12th. And what time does it start?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. Okay. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready, gang?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready to do this? You know what? This is going to be great. Like I said, fighting from the barricades. I liked that. I thought, oh, that's a great song. That's the one that I think, you know, ties it all together. In fact, we have Les Mis on, you know, on a DVR. And if you start it, say resume, that's where it resumes at. Right there. He's going up with the flag. Okay. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
How do people get tickets?
You can go on to the Shasta High School website, ShastaWolves.com.
ShastaWolves.com. Okay, one more time. Do that again as we go out. So come on up and start it again.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, it is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
The best of the best meet up May 16th through 19th as Wranglers and Leather come together to celebrate 70 years of Reading rodeo history. The toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast with four nights of pure adrenaline-pumping excitement. Opening night, the extreme bull riding event, barrel racing, and the insanity of the wildly popular chuck wagon races. Purchase tickets for the May 12th stake feed and rodeo tickets online at readingrodeo.com or at the rodeo ticket office on Auditorium Drive. Sponsored by Shasta.com and the new Sheridan Hotel.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I receive more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This Security Moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
There's an older animal at Haven Humane who lost his loving home just waiting for you to come rescue him. PALS Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion, and right now Blindsided is making a donation to this fund with every window covering order. Donations to this fund continue to provide homes for these older pets and honor the memory of this amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 10 years ago.
For window coverings, contact Blindsided today at 945-3969.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're going to be out on location there in front of the Cascade and then also judging 11 o'clock. How much fun, all the cool April nights events that are happening here. It's currently 52 degrees. Our highs today will be 88. But, of course, we know that we've got some showers along the way with our lows of 56. But I'm telling you right now, with all the activity going on in our lives, we are so happy that at the end of the day we get to fall into our beautiful Sleep Number bed. And the beautiful thing about my Sleep Number setting is I get to change it anytime I want on my side. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I actually have control over my own remote. Actually, it's a joint remote, but then I can make it anything I want. Isn't that fabulous? So last night I made my... I haven't eaten yet. So I have made my Sleep Number setting of 40. So as you know, the day before is 55. But just for, FYI, it was 40 last night.
I don't know where to go to.
Okay. What was your sleep number setting, Carl?
My sleep number setting last night was 60. And since it'll be on a cot tonight, I'm going to enjoy this one.
Because you're going to be turkey hunting.
I am.
Not because I'm making you.
No. It's No, you've never made me sleep on a cot. You've always been in our Sleep Number bed. Hey, look, right now on the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds is that when you move, it adjusts to you. As you move, it automatically adjusts. A little scary, but it's very, very comfortable. And you can get a Sleep Number 360 smart bed now with introductory savings of $300 plus special financing. Ask your Sleep Number store down in the Target Shopping Center about this. Head on down there to the Target Shopping Center. Go into our Sleep Number store and find out what a great, great bed this truly is. How much is a good night's sleep worth? Hey, you know what? We've here, and we love having, you know, we have authors on, you know, national level authors on a lot. But we just really love having our own local authors on. And with us today is Kelly Sewell. And Kelly has released her debut novel, The Blind Switch. But, of course, this was easy to write. You just knocked it out in, what, a week?
Hardly.
Hello, Kelly. Tell us a little bit about you first before we get into the book.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm a Reading native, was born and raised here in Reading, and was the product of our local public school system, and had some really wonderful teachers from elementary school all the way through high school who really fostered my love of writing. And I knew since the age of 6 and a half that I wanted to be a writer. And so it was no surprise, I think, to my family and friends when I said I wanted to be an English major in college. And right out of college, I wanted to write a novel. But, you know, reality hit, and I needed to get a job. So I started this novel, and I only got about maybe a few dozen pages written. And then I had to get a job and start a career, and I met my husband, and we started our family, and our careers took off, and it just seemed as if I would never finish this book. So through the years, I would take it up on a weekend, or maybe when the kids were napping, I would write for a few hours, but really didn't get much traction on it until, believe it or not, my 50th birthday was looming, and I was at a crossroads in my life, and when I looked back at my life, I had a wonderful family, friends, support system, great career, work for a wonderful organization, but that one nagging thing that I hadn't done was finish my book. So 27 years later, I made it a commitment to finish what I had started so many years before.
So here's a question I'm sure many people are wondering, but I know I am, so I'm going to ask you. How do you, now, with children, with career, with husband, with all the stuff that pulls at you, what was your MO to shut it out so that you could focus? Did you go somewhere? Did you have a room? Did you meditate? What did you do so you could get that flow happening?
I think that's an excellent question, and really timing is everything. I think if you're in the thick of a very busy career and family life with small children, how do you carve out the time and really have continuity in a story where you've got a consistent voice the whole way through? And I'll be honest with you, my kids are 20 and 16 now, so I can carve out the time on the weekends and in the evenings that I wasn't able to before. But there's another piece to this as well, and that is really the commitment. So about a year ago, March, I started reading books by a gentleman by the name of Brendan Burchard. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a motivational speaker, and he puts on High Performance Academy conferences. So a year ago, March, I attended one of his conferences, and basically the bottom line of that conference in terms of messaging was, if you want to do something in your life, no one is going to hand anything on a plate to you to get it done. You need to carve out the time. So it was really a call to action to me at that point to make it happen.
How'd you get turned on to Brendan Burchard?
Actually, it was a local friend here who's a motivational speaker and coach who turned me on to his teachings and his way of thinking in terms of just making your life the best that it can be. And so it was a local friend.
So that was a light for you honing what you needed to do in order to complete the blind switch. Now, can you tell us a little bit, a synopsis?
Absolutely. So the story centers around a woman by the name of Ruby Sons. She's 33 years old, and she is the recipient of an eviction notice. And so she needs to find an attorney, but she doesn't have the money for it. So she looks through the newspaper, and she finds a coupon for a free consultation. And she goes to see this attorney, and lo and behold, she finds out that the attorney was actually looking for her because she was the sole living heir of an estranged aunt that had raised her that she had become separated from. And so the story starts from there. Of she actually inherits a dilapidated estate, a broken-down estate, a fancy green diamond, of all things, and also part ownership of a racehorse. And so that's really where the story starts. And she is a very inquisitive character, and she asks herself, why would my aunt own a racehorse so late in life? And that's when we really dig into the details of what happened.
It gives me chills. This is kind of like a Get Lost weekend read. This is what I'm feeling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you may want to know what the blind switch means. The blind switch is actually a horse racing term, and it is when a horse gets caught in between and behind other horses, and the jockey has to pull the horse out in order to get around the other horses, losing valuable ground and valuable time. And for me, the term the blind switch has such rich imagery that there are other types of switches in the book, including a body switch.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Okay.
So it's a mystery novel.
Now, this is, you're also having a book release party.
May 5th, Tierra Oaks.
Tierra Oaks.
And tell us a little bit about that.
So, of course, May 5th is Cinco de Mayo, but mm-hmm. it's also the day of the Kentucky Derby.
It is. So
we will be holding a party, a release party from 1 to 4 at Tierra Oaks, and we will be airing the race. And we will also have a special guest from Harmony Haven, which is a horse rescue in the local area. A horse by the name of Miracle will be joining us. She was a former harness racer, and so she'll be there to pose for pictures with people. We're going to have appetizers, and we'll also have a performance from Foothill High's Jazz Combo Band. So it'll be a fun time for everyone, and it is open to the public. We just do ask that if you could just RSVP to let us know that you're coming so we can have enough food for everyone, and they can RSVP at theblindswitch@gmail.com.
This is so exciting, and you know, congratulations, Kelly. It's Kelly Sewell again, and this is her debut novel. Years and years to write it, but, you know, congratulations, because this is getting the doctorate after all these years. You know, the book is called The Blind Switch. Do we have somebody on the line to ask a question, Bob? Okay.
No, something else.
So this is going to be the book launching party and signing with Kelly. She is the author, and again, at Tierra Oaks, La Crescenta Drive in Reading, and go to blindswitch.com.
TheBlindSwitch@gmail.com is actually for the RSVP, but if you go to KellySewell.com, you can get more information on the book. You can order it. It's also available on Amazon, Kindle, and all ebook platforms. And you can also send me a note that you'll be attending the party on my website.
And Sewell is Sewell.
That's correct. Yes.
All right. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is so wonderful. And thank you, Ruth Angel, for always bringing us wonderful information about some of our just truly rich citizens that we have here in the North State. And you're just fantastic. I'm sure I got chills when you were telling me the storyline, so I know I'm going to read. I'm not a big reader, but when I get in, I go deep. I don't want to be disturbed. So this is something I know I'm going to enjoy the storyline.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Well, no, we're really glad when we have we're happy when we can have local talent. We can showcase local talent. Like, you know, we just came through with Shasta High School, but here is another graduate of Shasta High who has gone on in her life and done a number of different things, and now says, you know what, I'm going to complete the circle that I started right after college. And did it 27 years later. I think it's great. And it's called The Blind Switch. It's a mystery, and it really sounds intriguing here with racehorses and old estates and deaths of friends and these things. And it's Kelly Sewell. And on May the 5th from 1 to 4 p.m., she's going to have a book launching party. And at the book launching party, you not only do you get some appetizers and some sips, but you also will be able to watch the, if you're there at the right time, be able to watch the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, and you'll have a chance to win a prize. We'll have some raffle baskets as well.
Cool.
Just a wonderful event that you put together.
A fun event, yes.
Okay, so if you want to make reservations for this, so we got the blindswitchparty@gmail.com, or is that changed?
It's what's there on the press release.
Okay, the blindswitchparty@gmail.com, or give a call, 646-9551.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck with this. It's already published and it's out there, so just go out and buy a local book.
I just want to say one thing in parting, and that is if you have a big dream, no matter if it's to write a book or maybe to restore an old hot rod and have it at cool April nights, make it a commitment and get it done.
There you go. I like it. Or build a radio station.
That's right.
Or things like that. Okay, hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back with Larry Lees and Dave Dehart.
Isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could.
Real people, real winners, the catch of a lifetime. Imagine winning a brand new Ranger bass boat from Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo. Cast your line and reel in the winnings at Wind River Resort and Casino. Play our fortune fishing. Swipe to win for your chance to win a brand new Ranger boat. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn four times the entries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Win free slot play or prizes. Join us Mondays at 8 p.m. Win free slot play. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. Unlimited entries all month long to increase your chances. Swipe for your chance to win a variety of prizes. Imagine how much you and your family will enjoy reeling them in on the lakes and rivers in this fun-filled fishing boat. The more you play, the more chances you have to win. Final drawing is Monday, April 30th. Grand prize, a brand new Ranger bass fishing boat from Redding, Yamaha Sea-Doo. Fortune Fishing. Swipe to win at Wind River. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime. Playtime. All the time. All the time. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank. And I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill. Or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
The Missing in America Project's fundraising banquet this May 26th at the Veterans Hall, downtown Reading. An opportunity to raise money for a great organization that locates, identifies, and interns missing, forgotten veterans. So please come and join us for a prime rib dinner, raffle and auction, thousands of dollars of fantastic auction items at this event. For ticket information, contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Linda Kent at 356-3650.
And now, Carl and Linda Box. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. The Carl and Linda Box. Linda just ran out of here going to a show and shine that she's going to be calling in at. Good morning, everybody. 25th of April, 26 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here in the studios at KCNR 1460. Cornerstone Community Bank brings us this portion of the show. Cornerstone Community Bank continues to grow. They're moving to their new location in Cobblestone Shopping Center here in a while. They bought a building there. Their newest, but the newest location is at 1845 California Street. Going down to Cornerstone Community Bank, see how they are moving local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Well, we're here with Larry Lees, and we're here today to talk about those bed spaces. But we also got Dave Kehoe here, if I can get a microphone over to Dave. Oh, you know, I'm just keeping this here. That's okay. We're all right. No, just
okay.
If Dave wants to chime in here, this is primarily Larry because we got Dave at 8 o'clock. He just wanted to come in and sit because he knew that Larry gets confused. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'll be back again.
They're both out there looking at Kelly's book, and you know, it's like one of them says larger print needs larger print, and the other one said it needs pictures. I'm not sure where we are with the leadership here. Okay. You're here, Larry, to talk about these new beds. Okay, now, how did this concept come now after 9 years or 7 years? Why did it take so long?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a question everybody's asking. Timing, obviously, is one part of it, and we have to, there's cap releases with the courts that you have to look at and see when's a good time to go challenge that and determine that if that's going to blow up on you. You know, we needed to make sure that we had support from the state. The state actually has softened their, has become more flexible. And so I think there's been pressure on the state statewide, not only from Shasta County and our local sheriff, but also from other counties throughout the state with the advent of Prop 47, 57, and 109. So timing was right to, again, go back after the state and said, hey, we need some flexibility here so that we can better utilize that which we already have.
Now, where did the who was working on this? I heard that that you've got a guy over in the jail, the head's the jail up there.
Well,
was really,
well,
I mean, he was bad. He was going for it.
We have a captain in the jail, Captain Dave, I'll call him, and I got to tell you, he's been just outstanding, tenacious, fighting, and any time, which was often, the state said no, he would come back and say, well, what about this then? What about this? Captain Dave's done absolutely excellent job.
He's the one that heads up the jail. Is that
right,
correct?
Right, okay. Correct, correct.
And you all are getting turned down. You've been turned down on the same kind of concept for several times, right?
Well, different concepts, but basically the same thing. But so, you know, they turn us down and then we'll push back and say, okay, well, then what about this? And then they'll say, well, we're not sure this is going to work. Then we say, well, what about this then? And so we kept pushing until finally we were able to get a deal that was acceptable to them. And we're not through yet, by the way. I mean, this is just the beginning. We're at the cusp of more changes than just this.
Okay, so tell us where we are so people can understand it. And, you know, we know that it's taken us 7 years to get here. I mean, oh, my God. You know, this is just...
Yeah.
And you know what? And I used to say, what in the hell are they thinking of? And now I say, how in the hell can we get this done?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've gone from that to that.
Yeah,
And because this is, it's like the state wants to see their cities and counties fail almost. Do you ever get that feeling? It's like they don't have any idea what's going on down here.
There's certainly a high level of frustration, and I think they know what's going on. I think their priorities are different. Let me put it that way. But getting back to exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
think about that. Yeah. So what we're physically doing there in the jail, because we had to accommodate, we're accommodating more visitors in the jail itself, we had to do some facility changes as it relates to adding showers and as it relates to adding space in the rec room and things in the rec area and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on law, some certain titles and things.
Right.
So we're able to actually go in, and this is going to cost us, and it's not a secret. It's going to cost us a little over $1 million to go in there and make these changes. But for those $1 million, we're going to be able to accommodate about another 60 beds. And so you think about that, and you go back to building a whole new facility with 60 beds that was going to cost you about $40 million for. But back 5 years ago, it was $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about 60 beds, $25 million, an additional $5 million to operate it annually.
Mm-hmm.
With these 60 beds, it's going to be about $1 million to make the facility changes to accommodate it. And the increase in labor cost is zero because of the addition of beds, because they're already being managed within that same jail system. I mean, that is significant.
It is significant, and we're talking about, what kind of changes are we talking about?
So, physically, we're actually having to add showers.
Now, that's what I heard, that the addition of one shower gives you, there's more than one.
Yeah.
But the addition of one shower lets you put in what, 16 more people or 12 more people?
So what we're doing is we're actually double bunking, and so we're not physically adding new cells.
What's double bunking? Meaning
that,
do they like it?
No. meaning that in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, we're able to have two visitors to one cell. And we have not been able to do that in the past because of the square footage rules as it relates to making sure they have recreation space and showers.
Shower. Okay, so it was a shower thing that was...
That's the expense. The $1 million. That's the expense.
I understand that, but we couldn't put two guys to a room because we didn't have enough shower space. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, based on what the state is telling us today, correct. So that was the final deal we made with the state. They said, you know what, if you add these showers, and we're adding like eight of them, if you add these showers, then yes, that allows you the more occupancy.
You mean that if we could have put we could have put 60 more people in there if we'd added eight showers. And this was this something that they changed? Was this rule changed, or was this something we just didn't?
I believe it. And I understand the question. And you know, we're all scratching our heads, saying, well, "Okay, why didn't we do this 10 years ago?" The reality is, you know, I think the state has become a little more flexible in what they're allowing because of the pressure that's been put on from counties like us.
Okay. Okay. So now we've gotten this. Is there going to be another? What's the next step? We got 60 beds. Now, I think what Sheriff Basenko and what the chief of police have said, we've got like 385 really bad guys out there right now. They're doing most of the most, you know, these 385 people or 300, you know, are doing like 75% of all the bad things. So we can take 60 of those off. I mean, you can fill this thing up in an evening.
Right. They're there.
Just come on in. Sure. What are we doing for the other?
So we're still.
And by the way, we have Dave Kehoe here, and I'm not. And Dave's going to get his shot here. Sure. You know, at 8 o'clock. But I want to ask the CEO of the county, what is your plan on? I mean, it's been 7 years, and we got 60 beds.
Right.
What's the next step?
So the next step is we have this capacity release lawsuit that took place in the early 90s, and we are now challenging that so that we could actually maintain a higher population within the prison, in the jail. Once we get the state to sign off, and we believe we've got that agreement, that's why we're going forward with the 60, then we're going to go back to the courts and say, okay, now we're looking at adjusting that capacity release so we could have more. We are still also working with the out-of-county beds. Now, we have currently, and this fluctuates one or two, but we have about 28 of our people who have chosen poorly to attend facilities outside the county.
Three hots and a cot outside. Now, that's cheaper than keeping them here in many cases. Is that correct?
It is. Although, as I'll remind everyone, we can't send everybody out. There are some that have to be here.
They have to be sentenced. And plus, the other thing, the other organizations will not take real bad guys.
They're taking
the best of ours.
They don't need to.
They don't need to. Yeah. I don't want the guy that throws feces at the guards.
Yeah.
You can keep him there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so how much money do we spend on that?
So, fiscal year to date, we've spent, exactly $300,000.
Okay.
And so that started sometime around September of 2017. We are now, if you recall, the Board of Supervisors back about 10 months ago allocated an additional $200,000.
Right.
So we've gone through the $300,000. That's going to be spent this week, probably, if not by next week. And so now we're shifting the other $200,000 to keep those over, so we don't get those folks coming back.
The county has this plan, from that 109 plan. We have a group of people put together, and I can't remember
the community corrections.
Community corrections, right? That had at that point, and it caused a lot of consternation. They had several $1 million in their reserves. And at that point, it was in there, but they're saying, it was going to be spent out in the next 2 years.
Right.
Is there still money in that reserve?
It's been spent down, and so it at the end of next year, next fiscal year, that will zero out, and so there'll have to be some, unless there's a better higher level of percentage coming from the state in the next fiscal year.
Do you expect that?
No.
No.
No. We might get a little increase with Prop 172, which is public safety dollars, but I don't expect too high of...
Where's most of that money go to, Larry?
The Prop 172? Sure.
No, from the partnership plan.
There. The community corrections, the whole thing is designed by the state for rehabilitation. That's what it is designed for. And that's why there was a little consternation as the fact, well, gosh, we're just using it for jail beds. Well, if we can't put a fence around them, we can't have them to rehabilitate.
You can't fix them.
Yeah.
We can't have a hammer.
So there needs to be consequences. There's no question about that.
Carl, it might be beneficial if Larry would explain to your audience the makeup of the CCP.
Okay. But we'll do that right after this break.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back after these messages with Larry Lees and Dave Kehoe.
It's Bulls and Barrels, Wednesday, May 16th, as Wranglers and Leather meet up with the toughest cowboys, the baddest bulls, the talent and grace of barrel racers, and the insanity of chuck wagon races. A full night of extreme bull riding, WPRA barrel racing, chuck wagon races, and a little mutton busting thrown in for the little types. Opening night of Reading Rodeo will be a night of thrills, danger, and excitement as guys, girls, and kids match up for this wild and gritty event. Book your tickets now at readingrodeo.com or the Rodeo Ticket Office. Hurry, this show will sell out.
You obviously really love washing your car. Your wheels always look like you just got your car detailed.
Oh, I hate washing my car. That's why I'm in the Car Wash Club at Premier Oil Change. I can run my car through their state-of-the-art new car wash all month long for a fixed price.
Now, that's out of my budget.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very affordable. It starts at $22 a month, and it is fast. I get my car washed in under 5 minutes. They have free vacuums right next to the freeway. Easy in, easy out. I also like the oil change service. Having an infant and not having to get out of my car is a huge plus.
What a great service. Glad I asked. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change and unlimited car wash.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Start saving money now. The Cool April Night Sale is here at Reading Kia.
Get 0% financing for 75 months on 2018 Kia Sorento, highest ranked midsize SUV in 2017, and 2018 Kia Forte, highest ranked compact car in 2017.
0% for 75 months. It's just like cash on 2018 Kia Sportage and 2018 Kia Optima. Try zero down on credit approval.
Get huge customer cashback deals on every new Kia and terrific offers on the 51 MPG 2018 Kia Niro, highest ranked small SUV in 2017.
Never pay for an oil change or tire rotation for as long as you own your new Kia. The Cool April Night Sale is here. You're invited.
0% financing for 75 months at $1,333 per thousand finance through KMF. Not all buyers will qualify. Take a test drive, make a great deal, and start saving now.
Ends 4/30. For JD Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Start saving money now.
Reading Kia, readingkia.com.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. It's 11 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. 58 degrees, going up to 88 today, if you can believe that. But the rain's moving in, unfortunately. Looks like just in time for us Friday and Saturday. But you know what? It never rains on the cruise. I can just say that.
Hasn't yet.
Not yet. You know, maybe before or after, but never during. Okay, Larry Lees is here, and we were talking about the
community
corrections group, and we've talked about them before. But
right.
If you want to quickly go through,
very quickly. You know, You have the police chief that sits on that. You have the sheriff that sits on that, the health and human services, probation. We have public defender. The court's executive officer sits on that.
Sure.
And they're the ones that determine how best to spend the dollars.
Now, just what I understand is that there's infighting going on in this group a lot of times, and that when some will bring it up, and having that extra public or having an extra prosecutor, it was voted down from the other side because they don't want to spend the money.
Honestly, that's the beauty of the mixture of the group, is because you have those that are more about enforcement and incarceration. You have those that are in favor of rehabilitation and trying to make that change there, and both are right. And that's why you have a group like that, so you don't have somebody coming in there with their idea saying this is the way it needs to be. That's the whole purpose.
How do you rehabilitate somebody that refuses to show up for court?
They're the ones that they're incarcerated. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why you need both sides of that. That's why this makeup of this committee, which is legislatively designed.
I understand. I was just surprised to see that trying to get another prosecutor in here using that money, and it was fought. And I think, who is it? Is there the Department of Human Health and Services is in there?
They're Health and Human Services. That's that'll be your mental health.
Which leads me to another question, and you're lucky on this one, Dave, because this was coming at you and it may still come back, is the Sobering Center. It would be such an asset to our community, and yet we don't have the money for Sobering Center. Wouldn't this come out of the Health and Human Services? I mean, it's mental health, it's addiction.
Certainly that's an option to come out of there, but it would be at the expense of something else. And there would be those that believe that we don't have enough resources for our current mental health now.
Who has final say on where that money goes? I realize some of it is, I understand the 80%, blah, blah, blah. But there's got to be money in there. Like, say, why can't the Board of Supervisors, Dave, say, I want you, move in closer, buddy, hey, I want you to use $1 million so that we can pay for the needed medical. So we can have a Sobering Center at the Empire Recovery Center. Just use an example.
Sure.
We
can say whatever we want, but it's an independent group, Carl, prescribed by state law. And so they can make those independent decisions.
That's not true.
I know what you're talking. You're talking Health and Human Services. And so to that point, 90% of their money as designated, they're a pass-through from the state. They're actually a state agency, so they are told how to spend that. They are told how to spend that money, and so they don't have that flexibility.
But they're also like their budget like $170 million.
Yeah, so
or more.
So you're going to take $1 million out of mental health, or I mean, it's going to come from somewhere else.
That means you got $17 million. Then that's not being used.
Well, no, it's all being used.
I mean, it's all being used, but you know what I mean. It's not being told to go in there.
But since it is a pass-through from the state controls what it can be spent for. And you take the Mental Health Services Act, that was the Millionaires Prop 63 Act. That cannot be spent on any existing programs. That can't be spent on increasing coverage in certain things. It's got to be all brand new. Now, we're looking for more flexibility there, and we're pushing legislators to open that up.
Well, brand new, wouldn't that be like the Sobering Center?
Well, except that it has existed in the past. It's not to replace something that's gone. Sobering Center is a great idea. I mean, remember, we had this discussion with the city of Reading where everybody was going to participate, and then
that's what I thought. Everybody's going to put money in there because it would save time, effort, and it would open up the jail, too. Right.
Well, you said Sobering Center is a good idea, and it may be a good idea, but only, Carl, if it frees up the officers who are booking these people in.
And if they
got to stand around for 2.5 hours, then where's the efficacy?
Well, I understand that, but that was the point of the Sobering Center, because that's what they have to do now. Supposedly the Sobering Center, if the person says, I don't want to be arrested, they would take them to the Sobering Center, the policeman would drop them off. The problem was the medical. Right. If they had somebody there to take care of them medically, then the cops are gone. They're back on the street in 30 minutes instead of 2.5 hours like they are now.
Right. Now, we've actually got a good program that started with the mental health that we're doing now with the Hill Country Clinic here in town. And that's the same concept as the Sobering Center. Yeah. That's working very well, and hopefully success will breed success, and we'll have a participation from the city and the county, and we could even enlarge that and increase that. I think you're absolutely on the right track.
But Saved by the Bell, guys. We have, I guess we just lost him. Okay. Yeah. No, we're back into the fight here. Linda's got, as part of our things we're doing for Coy for Nights, that they're at a show and shine. But Larry, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you bet.
Because
anytime,
we got the thing about the 60 beds, and then Dave can elaborate on it, because Dave Keogh is going to be with us for the rest of the time here today.
You bet. Always a pleasure.
Well, you know what, and last question, is it Linda? Bob. Is it Linda?
Yeah.
Okay, the last part of that is, how are you and Barry Tippin? You all talking a lot?
We are. You know, it always amazes me when I still hear things the city and the county aren't getting along, and it's just not true. You know, we have more things that we do together than apart. We still meet together every, you know, any time you'll give
me a
call.
I'm going to have one day and have both of you here.
Sure.
That'd
be great.
I think that'd be a great show.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Linda, good morning. Where you at, hon?
Good morning. We're down at the Cascade Theater, in front of the Cascade Theater. There's a wonderful show and shine here. And, of course, there's a call coming in beeping while we're talking live on the air. But I'm going to put you on the phone with somebody who's got a 1959 Corvette in the show. Her name is Debbie. And can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. We're going to put Debbie on right now and talk about the show and shine. Good morning, Debbie, and welcome to KCNR this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Debbie. Okay, is that your 59 Corvette?
It is.
Okay. Now, did you do the work on this?
Yes. It's been in our family since 1963.
Uh-huh.
And, so we just carried on the tradition so it stays in the family.
That's great. I mean, do you get to drive it around town or just this?
No, we do shows, but no, it's a drivable car. I can take it anywhere.
Oh, wow. That's super. What's the show and shine? What's Cooler for Nights mean to you, Debbie?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've lost so much of our history, you know, all around with all the tech stuff, that we appreciate downtown being redone, all the stuff Diva does downtown, and to have the cars have places to go and be shown, and what it means to the people that relate to them. You know, they come in and they'll look at it and go, you know, I had a car like that, or my friend had a car like that, or my dad had a car like that. It even ask if they can take a picture next to it or sit in it. It means a lot to people. To see these cars that bring back memories.
Well, I met a gentleman that was driving down the road and saw, and he had a Vette, and he saw it in the field, and it was the very first Vette that he had and that had gone out in the first date with his wife so many years ago. Yeah. And he turned around and bought it, and then redid it.
Nice.
And you know, so it's that kind of thing there. I think you hit the nail on the head. It reminds people of the past, of pleasant, mm-hmm. pleasant parts of our past.
Good memories.
Yeah.
Very good memories.
Now, I understand we were talking to Deborah Fox that was, you know, here yesterday, talking about they're trying to get younger people involved again.
Uh-huh, yes.
I think that, you know, for the future of Cool April Nights.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to be cruising here on Friday then?
Oh, yeah. we did three shows yesterday, and uh-huh. There's so many shows, you know, you just have to kind of find a place to go, and there's so many things to do. There's a lot of cars. This show had, I think it was 110 last year, and they're still coming in today.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you.
You bet. Let me speak to Linda, please.
Thank you, Debbie. You do really good stuff for me. Okay, let me tell you right now, this is my favorite, you know, one of my favorites. I can't, you know, have favoritism because we're coming back today to judge at 11.
Right.
Thank you, Debbie. And so, anyway, it's just so lovely to see everybody out here and early in the morning. And like I said, cars, like she said, how many hundreds are lining up and everybody's just polishing and shining and got smiles on their faces. And this is just a wonderful event.
And this is down at
Cascade today. And
yeah. So you can go down to Cascade Theater and between 11 and 12 today. You're judging there. And which one are you judging?
Absolutely. We're going to be doing a particular level that's called the best topless car.
Well, you know what? I got Larry Lee's laughing, and Dave's eyebrows went straight up. Now he's laughing. Okay, Dave's got it now. Okay, all right. Okay, now that's the cars, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. As far as I know, you know.
As far as you know. Okay. Anyway,
yeah, absolutely. There's a few categories, and that's the one we chose.
Okay, so everybody should be down at the Cascade Theater today between 11 and 12 and see Linda and Jennifer. Judging. Huh?
And Jennifer. And when
that's
they get
what I said. Yeah, Linda and Jennifer.
Inside. Yeah.
Yeah, judging the best topless car.
Yes.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. Okay. You guys have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love my job.
we're gonna take a quick break. Let's see what we got here. I got 30 seconds. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. We're losing Larry Lees. Not that we want to let you go, but then we now have Dave Kehoe, who is with us, who is of course running for his seat again as supervisor of the of District 1, and he'll be with us for 8 to 9. All right, we'll be right back.
Community Talk Radio from the North State, AM 1460, KCNR, Shasta, Reading News, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. See the newly remodeled store, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Wally Hines in Washington.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the French Republic.
French President Emmanuel Macron, with the rare honor of delivering an address to a joint meeting of Congress. Today's address following a whirlwind of activity in Washington yesterday, including meetings on Syria and Iran. Last night, it was all festive. A military band welcoming guests to the Trump administration's very first state dinner in honor of the Macrons. In a normal year, it most likely wouldn't be a contest, but Republicans breathing a bit easier this morning after winning yesterday's special election in Arizona.
That's right. Now I don't say running for Congress. I won! This is awesome!
Congresswoman-elect Debbie Lesko celebrating a victory over a Democratic newcomer in a reliably red district. Over the objections of Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Senate Judiciary Committee poised to approve a bill today to protect Special Counsel Robert Mueller from being fired by the president. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has more.
The bill would codify that only a senior Justice Department official can fire the special counsel. It also would allow Robert Mueller or any other special counsel to challenge their firing. If a court determines it wasn't done for good cause, the special counsel would be reinstated. The bipartisan bill was offered to prevent President Donald Trump from firing Robert Mueller, who is conducting his Russia probe. While the committee is prepared to pass the bill, the Senate's GOP leadership is not on board. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who sets the floor schedule, has said he does not intend to bring the bill before the full Senate. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The Supreme Court saving one of the biggest cases for last. Justices hearing arguments today on the president's immigration ban. Federal judges ordered the Trump administration to resume a program that has shielded hundreds of thousands of young immigrants from deportation. But he gave the White House 90 days to restate his arguments before the order takes effect. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under $1 a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
The EPA moving to limit the types of scientific research that regulators can use to make decisions on hazardous substances.
EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt signed a proposed rule, long sought by chemical manufacturers and fossil fuel companies, that would end the use of so-called secret science. Critics say that this move is designed to restrict the agency from using peer-reviewed public health studies, which use actual patient medical records, but they fall under privacy laws. The founder of the Center for Open Science says if this policy takes effect, it would convert transparency from a principle for improving science into a weapon that undermines it. But supporter, Congressman Lamar Smith of Texas, says for too long the EPA has issued rules and regulations based on data that's been withheld from the American people. Jackie Quinton.
After yesterday's big sell-off, the Dow down only about a point right now. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Wally Hines. Iran's Foreign Minister Javad Zarif says an American withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal would damage U.S. credibility.
Zarif says if the United States were to withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal, it would not only free Tehran to scrap it, it would have implications for any such deal the U.S. made with North Korea.
What President Trump has made the international community aware of is the fact that the United States is not a trustworthy, reliable negotiating partner.
They're prepared to take but not give, Zarif said, pointing out Washington has not delivered the sanctions relief that was promised in exchange for Iran's renunciation of nuclear weapons development. The president calls the Iran deal a terrible bargain. Warren Levinson, New York.
Police in Toronto looking into the possibility the man who killed 10 pedestrians when he drove down a sidewalk earlier this week was triggered by a rejection from women. They say that just before launching that deadly drive, Alec Manasian posted a Facebook message linking him to a group that is angry over their inability to form relationships. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. We call it the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. All the things that are going on here, including at the studios, just showing people what our new studio is going to look like. So showing Dave and Larry Lee what it's going to look like. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here at Free Fire Radio. And the news is brought to us by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It is newly remodeled inside there, but same great customer service and that wonderful, you know, it should be an award-winning walk-in humidor is there and expanded. Bob, what's it look like for our weather today?
Well, it's going to be a mixed bag. It was a little bit on the cool side this morning, but today's high will be at or near the 90-degree mark. Overnight low 57, mostly sunny tomorrow, also with a high of 84. It'll be tapering off Thursday night. Clouds move in, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Friday. Into the weekend, we have off and on rain and thunderstorms around city, highs near the 70-degree mark. Currently in downtown, we have 56 degrees. Shasta Lake remains a mere 13 feet from the top of the dam. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
A veteran-owned business out of Anderson and gives discounts to seniors and veterans and also has payment plans. All available at Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Well, in the last half hour, you heard us talk to Larry Lees, primarily Larry Lees, but also Dave Kehoe, who is Supervisor District 1, is running for re-election.
Right.
And about the new bed space. And if you're just tuning in now, we're going to give it kind of a brief synopsis. But essentially, the captain of the jail down there, named Dave, we don't give out last names, has found a way that to increase the number of beds there, and by going back and forth with the county, going back and forth right. to the state about, you know, how do we do this? How do we add another person in here? Well, it turns out that the state is getting a little more flexible after getting a lot of pressure from everybody. Nobody's ever going to know for sure, I don't think. But they said if you put in another shower, so they're putting in 8 more showers at a cost of $1 million, which allows us to put 60 more people in
right.
the jail.
Right.
You can only have so many people
sure.
in the jail by sure. law. So now, where are we with that? You know, is this a done deal, or do we have to leap through another grommet here, as they say?
Well, I don't think anything is ever certain with the state of California, but on a local level, Carl, we're moving forward with the design of
okay.
this configuration. We've got a contract out the mm-hmm. other day with Nichols Malberg. I think it's a bright promise of things to come, and I'd kind of like to follow up on some other options that we're considering.
For the jail and the bed.
For the jail, yeah.
Trot them out.
Okay.
We've been doing this. We've been up to our butts in bad guys.
Absolutely.
Since AB 109. And here we are.
47 and 57.
Well, yeah, but right. AB 109 started
okay.
it.
Yeah.
And then, but 47 and 57 has aspirated it. So what we're talking about here is it's been 7 years, and now we've got 60 new beds. Yeah, you know, illuminate this for us. Where are we going from here?
Okay.
More good news,
okay.
I hope.
Some of these you may have heard of, mm-hmm. others you may not. I will tell you, some of these are controversial. people have different opinions.
Okay, okay? This is about the jail space.
Yes, right sir.
Okay, well, let's go for it.
So, the next one is on the completion of the new courthouse, and it's imperative the new courthouse be built. Then our intent is to convert courtroom 1 and 2 to additional bed space. That will generate approximately 100 more beds for the county.
Okay.
So we're talking within a reasonable period of time, 160 beds. That's pretty significant, Carl.
It is. Now, the courthouse, though, is not set to be finished, at least for another 2 years, right?
I don't know what the time. I think they're going to get started this summer, however.
The money's been allocated
yes.
to start it. Okay, because
yes.
I've heard that there's just been the money was allocated for the plans for it. But you're saying no, that's.
Well, I'm under the understanding that the governor is fully supportive of this and we're moving forward. So the third thing is, and we kind of talked about it a little bit here, the export of prisoners to other jurisdictions.
Right.
At a meeting yesterday, 28 prisoners are exported to other jurisdictions. Keep in mind, Carl, these are post-sentence prisoners. And as you discussed with Larry, there's a certain amount of judgment implied here as to whether the other counties want to accept these people. But anyway, 28 and then an additional 4 that are going to the fire camps. So that's 32 positions that we have freed up for people that are committing criminal activities.
Okay, so that's 32 right now.
Right. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right. So, that's 32. And how many are in the jail at any one time? It's like, what, 320?
I think that's – I don't know.
I think it's 320, and that's at 90%.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. The next idea, and the court and the sheriff are moving forward with this, and that's to accelerate competency hearings for individuals that have been accused of crime. The idea here is that people have to assist in their own defense. And I have been told, and I think in the workshop I attended, that people at least have to be brought up to the fifth grade level so they can assist in their defense. Well, we have a small number of people, I understand it, that are in the jail that are awaiting the acceleration of their abilities so they can assist in this. People that commit felonies have to go to the state. So what
are we saying is that a person who doesn't think at the fifth grade level can't go to court?
They have to be able to assist in their own defense. And if they're at a certain level, they're not able to do that successfully.
Is that a psychological test?
I don't think so.
Or a reading test?
Carl, I don't know the specifics.
Okay. Well, no,
but
I'm just wondering. I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of that before. I mean, a competency hearing, I thought, was something like being mentally able to do it. Like, you know, do you understand the concept of right and wrong?
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was.
That may be part of it.
Well, but you're saying they have to be understand things at a fifth grade level.
That's what I've been
which
told.
Which is like, what, an 8-year-old? 10-year-old? I'm not sure. I know that. Yeah, okay.
The other really important thing is, and we have joint funding from the tribal council, and that's on the misdemeanor prosecution. People need to be accountable for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it was estimated that there were about 500 people just in the city alone that were not being prosecuted. Because of a grant, we were able to move forward. We've hired a prosecutor, hired clerical help to prosecute these people. That's a good thing, Carl.
Oh, no, I understand that. Is that the Wind River...
Yes.
Wind River came through with that.
Yes.
And this is called the quality of life prosecutor, right?
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, quality of life, because they were going after the those misdemeanors that were causing a lot of problems. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah, like people on, you know, camping and not necessarily camping, but the lawbreakers like that. Okay. All right.
Now, here's another big one. And I've asked Larry to look into this. Mm-hmm. The idea has surfaced about evaluating the possibility of converting the Juvenile Justice Center to adults. As you know...
One on Breslauer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, it's a beautiful facility. It's a new facility. And the enrollment, the number of people down there, is not anywhere close to maximum. Plus, we're bringing in people from other adjacent counties. But even so, the idea is, what would happen if the state would allow us to convert that facility into adults?
Where would you put the kids?
Excellent question. You'd have to export them to other jurisdictions.
You can't do that, though, because... Or these are ones that have already been adjudicated, and that they've got to serve six,
whatever,
7 months,
it is,
8 months.
Yeah.
What about the ones they hold? I used to teach down there.
Okay.
At the juvie.
Yeah.
And they would have kids in there for like a week at a time, because they come in and they'd be held for a week, and then they turn them loose.
Right.
You can't export those kids.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But the other thing that comes up, Carl, is these youngsters can benefit from a support system. So if you send them to an adjacent county, that may cause difficulties in having parents get access to them. So that's one concern. The other concern is if you convert the facility to adults, you're going to have to redesign it in some way.
Probably.
To accommodate them.
Yeah.
So there are expenses to this, plus there are expenses because that's a bonded facility. So the state may allow us to do that, but we're going to have to pay off that indebtedness. And I understand that's around $15 million.
How many? This may not be a starter then, huh?
Well, it's worthy
of looking
at investigation.
But you know what? You got to look
because
at it.
We,
that's right.
Exactly.
You got to look
exactly.
at it. Exactly. Okay, look, we got to take a break here. I'm with David Kehoe, who is running for re-election in District 1. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Been in the business over 25 years, been voted best in the North States, a better-known business. They are the only ones we let that touch our HVAC systems, of course. Is Martin and Pam's wonderful business they have here. Give them a call at 221-2642. Check out their website, homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. We have people wanting to talk to our supervisor, and we'll get to you, Nick, as soon as we get back from these messages.
Fundraising banquet this May 26th at the Veterans Hall, downtown Reading. An opportunity to raise money for a great organization that locates, identifies, and interns missing, forgotten veterans. So please come and join us for a prime rib dinner, raffle and auction, thousands of dollars of fantastic auction items at this event. For ticket information, contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Linda Kent at 356-3651.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit. At Wind River Retreat, indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean. Here at Wind River Retreat, our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
Wow, I love your new place. It's so stylish.
Okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. I get all my furniture at the Home Consignment Depot.
Really? This dining set? The entertainment center? The sofa?
Yeah, and all the accessories and art, too.
The Home Consignment Depot? Where are they located?
They're at 1313 Hartnell Avenue, between Churn Creek and Victor. You know, next to Signorama. They've got quality furniture for the home and office at prices you can afford. It's definitely the spot to shop for furniture, with new arrivals daily. And they offer an excellent consignment service.
Consignment? How does it work?
It's easy. They sell your quality furniture and send you a check. I received more for mine than if I sold it myself, without the hassles and costs of running an ad.
They sell your quality furniture and accessories and send you the check?
Right. They also offer a pickup and delivery service. They accept all forms of payment, and they're open 7 days a week.
That's good to know.
If I were you, I'd visit their showroom today, or call 722-0635, the Home Consignment Depot. It's definitely the spot to shop.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 25th of April. It's a beautiful day going up to 88 today, so don't leave your pups in the car or your animals or kids or granny. Don't leave them in the car today. It'll get too hot. Bastiani Arms brings us this portion of the show. 2539 Larkspur is where I buy guns. From why? Because great customer service. Veterans get discounts. They are the one. Bastiani Arms, open Tuesday through Saturday. I'm here with Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 1, David Kehoe, who's running for re-election. And let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning. Do you have a question?
I do have a question for David. You know, after listening a little bit to Larry and you, I can't believe that you guys enjoy jumping through the hoops and having this California tell you what you can do and what you can't do. And you, Supervisor, made the motion that Jefferson, the state of Jefferson, could not be brought back up to the board unless there was a two-thirds majority requesting it to be brought up. Would you be willing to rescind that? And it could be brought up if just one supervisor wanted to bring the question of Jefferson in front of the public.
Thank you, Nick. As of right now, Nick, I would be disinclined to do that. But if there were strong enough and persuasive enough arguments to do it, I might be inclined to change my position. But as of this morning, I would not.
Yeah, Dave. For that one, there they wanted to do a 15-minute presentation, and that was turned down. Yeah. And then a couple weeks later, y'all listened to 4 hours of chemtrails. You remember that?
I remember chemtrails. Yes,
4 hours of that. I mean, if I was going to weigh those on something that I could listen 15 minutes to State of Jefferson and 4 hours of chemtrails, sure. I mean, doesn't that? I mean, when you think about it, the state of Jefferson is not something that's going away. But you still have no interest in just even listening to it.
I gave my answer. I'm willing to consider it.
Okay. Let's go back. You had a couple more things on the jail thing there, because we will get into that sanctuary state thing too, because that was kind of that was interesting where the county sent that out. But we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Okay. Going back, you said you had a couple more things there.
And this is in line with looking at all options that are available to us.
Okay.
The next one is conduct a third-party external operational review of jail activities. Are there opportunities for us, for the sheriff, to do things differently in jail operations? Now, it's my understanding, sheriff mentioned at a meeting that he was bringing up someone that is involved in law enforcement, county law enforcement from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking at bringing in an external agent, an objective agent, that will do this analysis. So that's on the table.
And that's to what, like streamlines? You're talking about having an analyst come in like you would any business that takes a look at your functions, how it works, how can you make it better, how you can streamline it.
Exactly. Well put.
It'd be nice if they could streamline 100 more people in there. Maybe we could. Yeah. You know what? In the Navy, in the submarines, they do things called hot racking, where, because they have 12-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
one guy sleeps in the rat for 12 hours, gets out, and the other one has it. So I don't guess you could probably do that. No. Okay. Let's go on.
Okay, here's another one that came up. Investigate the possibility of placing jail operations under the management of a private contractor.
Okay.
I don't think that idea resonates with too many people, which you don't know.
I know they have, but I thought it was, okay, running the jail by a private contractor, okay, as opposed to a private jail, which I understand is illegal in the state of California.
Okay.
I'd heard that.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
The other idea is explore the possibility of expanding the work release program. As you know, probation has, and I'm kind of blending a couple of topics here, but probation has 100 electronic bracelets. Mm-hmm. Sheriff has 100. When I talked to Tom the other day, he said they're currently using 80.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they can expand that. And by expanding it, maybe they can get more people out of the jail. You've
got to look at everything. No, I when I do that, you know, you can't see me, of course. You will soon because we'll have TV cameras in here. But I just kind of, you know, raise an eyebrow and I think, well, you know, that might work too. I mean, anything. If you can get them out of the jail and they respond to these, which, by the way, is kind of like a badge of honor among some of our members of our community, is your ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
You know, oh, look, yes, I'm wearing shorts today with my ankle bracelet, and it goes well with my hat. If you give out 300 of those, and so you get 300 people out of jail, and it's working, I'm all for that.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can be wedded to the status quo. I think we have to look for opportunities to do things differently, maybe make them more efficiently.
And I need to ask this,
sure,
Dave. 7 years we've been going through this. And frankly, this is the first time in 7 years that I've seen ideas being put forth in this number. And kind of like, in, you know, the one for the youth one there, you can't keep kids in there with adults. So it's just one building. So you're going to have to move those kids out. I think that's going to be a real hard problem, but at least it's been bridged.
Sure.
Why is it taking so long? It's not like this was a surprise when we started having this happen to us 7 years ago in AB 109 and everybody said, this is going to get weird here quick.
Yeah.
And then when that 47-57 hit, it just... So here we are at the seventh year. How many of these plans do you really... I mean, you've been in this business a long time.
Sure.
Do you really think that we can push through?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I think we're moving forward with dispatch on the 60 beds.
Yes.
I think we're moving forward as fast as we can with the 100 beds.
At the courthouse.
That's a big number, Carl.
Those are. No, I am not disparaging that at all. But see, the 60 beds and then the other ideas. I mean, now. Why now?
I think, as Larry has indicated, there's a certain amount of flexibility now with the state of California on this double bunking concept. And so when that opportunity came up, we might as well grab it and see if we can move forward.
Yeah.
And then the success with funding the new courthouse opens up a whole avenue of opportunities.
It absolutely does. Let me ask this question.
Sure.
As we talked about here years ago, the prison system was shut down because of lawyers. As soon as we started putting people in jails, which was not meant to have people in them for years, and we have people.
Yes.
The lawyers are now circling the jails. We already have one ADA case that could cost us millions of dollars. Are we concerned that lawyers, and when I say lawyers, but yeah, lawyers that are going to come in here and to make us reduce the number of people we have since we've got people here for 6 years? We don't have the recreational areas that the big prisons do. We've got a cement area with a basketball hoop.
Yeah. I think your observation is right on the mark, Carl. Jails were never designed to be prisons. And as you correctly point out, we have people staying there for a good number of years. I don't have an answer to that. I think it's important that we talk to the sheriff and see what we can find out about that. I know his staff over there is really pressed to deliver some of these services that would be available in a prison system.
Well, this is going to be, I've got one last question here concerning this, and I want to move into, I want to ask about the sanctuary state, because
you bet.
It was a bone of contention at the Board of Supervisors, and then you've already answered the Jefferson State, said, hey, as far as I'm concerned, nothing's going to change now. Then we're going to move into business and those kind of things.
Sure.
The last question I ask is, there seems to be a, I guess the word, it's animosity between the sheriff and certain members of the Board of Supervisors. Do you think this is having, is this having a negative impact on us moving forward?
Carl, I'm not sure I agree with that statement.
Really?
I guess I haven't seen that.
Well, I've seen Leonard Modi saying things to the sheriff, I mean, in print, that there's obviously a bone of contention between these two. And I also know that I just believe that there is some friction there, just from observation and things people tell me.
I can only speak for myself.
Uh-huh.
I think that Tom has been very accommodating, very helpful. He will call me on a regular basis and say, Dave, is there anything going on in your district that I should know about? I got to tell you, Carl, I appreciate that. I appreciate that he's very responsive to any requests that I have of the sheriff's department. So I don't see it at my level.
Okay. All right. That's a fair answer. Okay. We're going to take a break here. Our guest is David Kehoe, who is running for re-election in the District 1 of Shasta County. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service, one of the only full-service jewelry stores in Reading. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. And when I'm turkey hunting, you know Linda's going to be in there. So it'll be a big surprise. I'll bring home a turkey. She'll bring home a new ring. Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back with Dave Kehoe.
Hi. I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The best of the best meet up May 16th through 19th as Wranglers and Leather come together to celebrate 70 years of Reading rodeo history. The toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast with four nights of pure adrenaline pumping excitement. Opening night, the extreme bull riding event, barrel racing, and the insanity of the wildly popular chuck wagon races. Purchase tickets for the May 12th steak feed and rodeo tickets online at readingrodeo.com or at the rodeo ticket office on Auditorium Drive. Sponsored by Foothill Distributing, McConnell Foundation, and California Highway Patrol.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 Health Grades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Woo!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460, 26 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, 58 degrees, going up to 88 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Best place ever to get a haircut, man's last stronghold. I'm here with David Kehoe, running for re-election for District 1 Supervisor. And let's go to the phones. We have the phones filled up. Gary Cadd. Good morning, Gary. You have a question for our David Kehoe.
Yeah, well, Dave, first of all, you guys will have to forgive me because I haven't been able to listen to every bit of the program, so this question or this subject may have been raised already. But, David, back when the county gave the money back to the state for the jail.
Yes.
The main reason for doing that was if the county couldn't come up with the money to staff the jail, the jail was going to revert back to the state, and we'd have a state prison in downtown Reading. Is that true? That's true, isn't it?
Well, I haven't heard that. We returned because we could not, Gary, come up with the operational money, which was estimated by the sheriff at around $4 million+. We were unable to accept the generosity of the state with that $20 or $24 million grant. Originally, as you may recall, the estimate for operating the facility, and it's a 64-bed facility, was 1.9. Well, when we got to finally sign in the papers, it escalated to $4 million plus, and we just could not afford that. You might find it interesting, Gary, that we had testimony at the board meeting from the CEO indicating, yeah, we can't afford to do that. We had the auditor controller say the same thing. And we had the sheriff come in and say, you know, that's too much money. He was not recommending that we go forward with it. So it was an opportunity.
Back at the time, had we a bit gone ahead and taken the money, built the jail, and then decided, well, we don't have the money, the state would have come in and taken over the facility, and it would have become a state prison instead of a county jail, and we would have prisoners from all over the state coming into that. That would have been right in downtown Reading.
You know, Gary, I had heard that also. And if that would have been correct, that is something that I don't think anybody in Shasta County would have wanted to have happen.
Yeah. Can we say Susanville?
Oh, no.
Okay, Gary, thanks a lot.
You bet. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Sally. Good morning, Sally. Do you have a question for Dave Kehoe?
Okay. Turn your radio down.
Hello, Sally.
Yes.
You're
good
on.
Morning.
You're on.
Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, David. I have a question for you now that about almost 20 cities and several counties have joined the sanctuary state in writing resolutions against the sanctuary state. I wondered if you had rethought your position when you voted to abstain from that vote.
Well, I did not participate in the vote, Sally, and I abstained from voting. As to my position, no, I have not changed my position. And I think someone else is asking a question on the same vein, and I certainly can amplify on my reasons
for
that.
Well, I'll ask.
Sure.
Okay, Sally, thanks a lot. That got it started. I was going to ask this. Okay, the idea that county was going to go back and say, hey, we don't really think that this is a good idea for our county. You know, we don't agree with the idea of the sanctuary state. You said at that point, you thought this was a bad idea.
Yes.
Why?
Okay.
First of all, it was a symbolic act. Symbolic acts are important, had no standing in law whatsoever.
Right.
But three of the supervisors felt that it was important to them to say to the state of California, we don't agree with what you're doing. We don't agree with you, Jerry Brown. The testimony before the board was from the sheriff that it would make no difference. From the district attorney, it would make no difference. From the county council, that it had no binding legal.
Yeah, there's no teeth in it, right.
Here's the story, Carl, that people don't know, and perhaps we should have surfaced it earlier. The governor, Jerry Brown, was a proponent and worked hard to get the new courthouse funding for Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, Shasta County slapped him in the face and said, well, in spite of all your good offices to get us the money for the new courthouse, we're telling you that we don't appreciate what you're doing. Here's what people don't know. Within an hour and a half of that vote, the governor's office called us and said, we want to see a video of that meeting where people made their declarations. We have contacts in Sacramento that were of the mind that that action and that action alone put the new courthouse in jeopardy. We're talking about a lot of jobs from construction. We're talking about converting the old jail, the old courthouse into jail space. To me, it was not a wise decision.
Okay, so
that.
You're saying the governor's office, after that vote,
yeah,
came to who? Larry Lees?
Yeah.
And said, I want to see a video of that. I want to see what you guys said.
Yeah.
What happened after that? I mean, obviously nothing happened.
Well, because we were able to feather it out.
Okay.
And we were able to convince
to
them.
Say that, hey, look, this is a symbolic thing, that this is the way that our constituents are.
Yeah. It was not a good approach or a good strategy to me to put that courthouse in jeopardy.
Okay. What do you think, but personally, what do you think about the sanctuary state? What does Dave Kehoe think about the sanctuary state? We can all disagree with the governor and other people, but what do you think about that?
I think that I have two opinions.
Okay.
One's a personal opinion.
Well, that's what it is, just a personal opinion.
Okay, but I also have a corporate opinion, if you will.
No,
you know, the county is a subdivision of the state.
And that's the corporate.
You know, that's the
corporate. And you've already said how you feel about that, but what do you think about that?
I really haven't solidified my ideas on that. I don't have an answer for you now.
Really?
I'm
totally against the idea of a sanctuary state. And for reason is that it's gone to court. It's gone to the Supreme Court and said that the states have no right to do this. You know, when Arizona was trying to restrict the rights of illegals, that's up to the U.S. government. In that case, it was under Obama. And I see these other, you know, I understand totally, though, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is, hey, I've got a $400 million courthouse or whatever, how much it is. And if you want to poke me in the eye here, you can do that. But you can just hold off in that courthouse another 2 years.
Yeah. Carl, you're absolutely right. We are a divided community. As far as this issue is concerned, people on both sides. I mean, I got a lot of emails on one side or the other.
Oh, no, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to, I tell you what, I want to ask this question about business.
Sure.
The business climate in Shasta County, Shasta Lake has made, in just that little small community, $400,000 last year in marijuana taxes. They've sold every bit of property they have there in their park out there, business park. The city of Redding is getting ready to okay 10 places, a minimum of 10 places here in town that's going to sell marijuana, plus looking at Stillwater out there as a place that there's going to probably be some kind of production centers or, who knows, growth centers out there.
Yeah.
The county of Shasta has said you are not going to grow in unincorporated areas. And you put a moratorium.
Unless it's inside.
Unless it's inside. Yeah, it's only like six plants. Because I looked at it the other day.
Yeah.
Six plants, and it's got to be a caregiver that's doing this. And it's got to have scrubbing and all these things. Have you all looked at it as a strictly a law and order? Or has anybody raised the point that there could be amount of money that would pay for a new, pay for the people that run the new ARG if we got it as a moneymaker? What's your opinion on this?
Carl, it is fascinating to me the number of calls we get from people complaining about external marijuana grows.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call not too long ago from a lady who introduced herself and said, last year I had some real serious problems because there's a marijuana patch just down from me. She said she was in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was devastated. Her lifestyle was devastated because of the odors
mm-hmm.
emitting from it, because of the traffic associated with it. We have an obligation, I believe, in Shasta County to protect people like that. And that's why we move forward.
Okay. So you don't see in the future then being able to grow marijuana and getting the tax revenue off that legally? Because they're growing it illegally everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. All right. We're here with David Kehoe, and we're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Home Helpers, if you want to keep your loved ones where they're the happiest at home, give Sharon Clark a call. This is a premier agency to help our loved ones, whether it's 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day. Look at their website at readinghomehelpers.com or give them a call at 226-8350. Remember, there's no place like home. We'll be right back, and Lori will get to you right after these messages.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
At Cypress Store Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we specialize in personalized service, quality eye care, and competitive prices. Make your appointment today and receive 50% off your frame, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. Cypress Store Eyes is your locally owned eye care professional. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, offer a military discount, and do your insurance paperwork. See our store for complete details. Cypress Store Eyes, 722-9992.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community.
It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460. Hey, it's 58 degrees, going up to 88 today. It's going to be a beautiful day. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. Remember, the Safari Club International is Redding's Regional Chapter's 24th Annual Banquet this Saturday at Wind River. Still want a ticket? It's about sold out. But if you want a ticket, give Larry a call at 474-5075 or Scott, 221-4650. I'm here with Shasta County District 1 Supervisor David Kehoe, who is running for re-election. And let's go to the phones. Lori, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. And you know what? If it's been a very long time since I've personally thanked you for serving in the military and Marine Corps and everything else, I'm profoundly thanking you today. When I hear topics about the sanctuary, state, county, city, and then get this lukewarm response from individuals, or they're not taking a very solid stance, to me it sounds like a massive slap in anyone's face that offered their life and limb. And so I just want to say that, with the military topic in mind, could David Kehoe, I'm in District 1, perhaps quickly address if the Vets Hall parking lot near downtown post office has been addressed with some kind of handicap parking or a lease situation or a rapid bus? Secondly, is he planning to move to Fort Bragg partially, fully? I heard some kind of a insinuation of that, and I'll listen off air. Regarding chemtrails, it's actually geoengineering. It affects all every breath we all take. It is an important topic, like Jefferson. So
yes.
If the Board of Supervisors did indeed in 2014 spend 4 hours, I think it was worth 3 hours and 59 minutes, personally, because it's affecting everything. So
okay, Lori.
So I'll listen off air.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Yep.
Okay, first one is, do y'all have anything to do with the parking down at the Vets Hall?
No.
Nothing?
No. We have... I know it's a problem, especially when they have large assemblies there.
But
the railroad is private property.
Got it.
The railroad has prohibited people from parking there.
I understand.
I've asked Larry to look into the possibility of gaining some access to that property.
Is it there? I understand the railroad said is that they tried to work a deal with the county. For some kind of okay,
I wasn't aware of that.
See, I wasn't sure if it was a city thing or if it's a county because the Vet Hall belongs to you all.
Yes.
Okay. So the question is there some kind of plan coming up so that we have a place to park for these elderly veterans?
We're working on it, and I know it's a problem. There is limited disabled parking on the south end of the facility.
Right.
But what we've heard is that it's still too far for
it
folks
is.
To walk.
Yeah.
And so. If we could work out a successful relationship with the railroad, that would be the ideal solution.
It would. So whose job is that?
Larry's looking at it. CEO is looking
okay,
at
but
it.
This has been a problem for like 3 or 4 months. Do we know where we are on this thing?
I don't.
Because I called the railroad.
And?
And they said, hey, this is our property. That's a county problem. That was what they said. Well, you know, and they said, you know, because, and they said, hey, you know, their discussions had been and said, fine, this is not our job to give parking, but I would think there'd be something there. I can't believe that we couldn't put pressure on this railroad by saying, hey, look, you're making elderly veterans walk 100 yards through a bunch of transients, which leads us to another question.
Sure.
So we just don't know where we are in that one.
I'll find out.
I think a lot of people care about that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay, which leads us kind of to that other question with the, in the last 10 years, we've seen our quality of life start to degrade here. Now, I'm one of the people that believes that Redding is still one of the finest places in the United States, maybe the world, to live. Yet, and I personally am not accosted or nobody bothers me. But I understand and I see where other people are. We have a $3 million shoplifting at Walmart. We have all these other things. The quality of life has gone down here. And what is your plan on trying to alleviate this problem?
Okay. I think it's important to recognize that as a community. Now, we're talking about the homeless here.
The transient thing. You know, it's not, you know, homeless get blamed for everything. But
well, they sure do.
You know, you throw that group in there. It's not the homeless. They just don't have a job. It's just transients are coming through there. But we've got the fifth or the first highest auto theft in the nation is in Redding. We have people along the river. If you're fishing along the river, you get to watch naked people making love or whatever they're doing out there while you're fishing.
Yeah.
What can in cities? What is the county doing?
Well, I think what we're doing is relative to the homeless, at least in our point in time survey, we're categorizing the people that are homeless by choice, by condition, and then we're identifying specific categories. Mm-hmm. Let me give you something that I think you will be encouraged by, and that is we have made great strides in providing for homeless veterans. And I think in the report the other day they indicated around 116 or something like that have been placed. There are people that require mental health services, that require residence housing, and there are those, as we well know, that there's a criminal element here that I don't think you're going to do anything
about.
No,
they're just bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing, too, Carl, is we are faced with a display of problems here in Shasta County, and one of them, which we have never talked about and no one has talked about, is rural health care. There is a pressing need to increase what we're doing in rural health care for people.
That's absolutely true. And the next time you come on, I want to address that one because we only got about four minutes left. And I want to talk to your time in the partnership health plan. Because you had a lot to do with that.
Yes.
Okay, I want to go back to this one question here.
Yep.
And we just got a phone call. The last part was, are you moving to Fort Bragg?
Where is that coming from?
Well, it's coming from Lori. She said that she heard that you were moving to Fort Bragg.
No.
Okay. Well, there's the answer to that. He's not. You know what? We hear all types of things coming through here. Okay, last thing here on the business climate.
Yeah.
What do you see Shasta County doing to try and help build? Because we get more jobs in Shasta County. That alleviates a lot of the problems. What are you doing?
Absolutely.
What's your plan for this?
Absolutely. I think that Shasta County, as well as the other jurisdictions, need to put out the welcome mat for new businesses or the expansion of business in Shasta County. I think we have to make we have to attract business, and we've got to make.
Okay, but how do you do that?
Because we can do it by making the permit process much simpler, much more accessible. The other idea I have is.
Okay, let's go back to that one.
Sure.
How do we do that?
We're doing that right now. We're in the process of evaluating that. We're in the process of doing a top to the bottom evaluation of what's going on in that department.
Do you think Anselmo Vineyards will ever get a permit?
Are they applying for a permit?
I think they've been applying
for 100 years.
For a long year. And they're still out there not doing business. And
that's a heck of a.
Because we're talking about permits, and I understand they're still having permitting problems out there. Okay, so you're doing a top to bottom permit.
Right.
Look at, you know, how do we do business here?
Right.
To make it easier.
Right. Absolutely. The other thing we need to do, in my estimation, is, and we did it in years past, is. Why can't we put together, and the chamber took the lead on this years ago,
mm-hmm.
why can't we put together an assembly of elected officials from each jurisdiction, one from each jurisdiction, to work together on developing economic opportunities? Why can't we have a closer relationship and a representative with the EDC?
Why don't we do that? I mean... So it's been around for a long time. Why don't we do that? When I hear this from people that are sitting in office, and you all have got to ride this horse. You're sitting in an office saying, why don't we do that? My question is, okay, why haven't you done that? And this is what people ask. Why haven't you done that?
Sure. Because there doesn't seem to be any interest from the other jurisdictions.
Well, then I think you need to go out there and then you need to pound the drum. If you're saying is that the city is not interested in sitting down with the county and Anderson and the city of Shasta Lake with the EDC.
I'm saying we had the model
in 1992 that the chamber was involved with.
Yeah.
It was operational for a period of time. I think we need to revisit that. I think it would be of value for the chamber to get back involved in this activity so we can march forward and get something going here.
You know, and Dave, I understand that you know, sometimes bureaucracies work slow. I think people have said, okay, these what I see are good ideas coming out, you know. But these ideas have been around that you want your supervisor, your city councilman, or your assemblyman, or whoever it is. Okay, good idea. I want to hear I've done this, as opposed to I think we should do this. So, I mean, is there a timeline for doing this? I mean, this is a good idea, which you just said. You know, is there a timeline? Are you going to start it today, tomorrow, the next day? To do that?
Well, I'll tell
you
what
I mean.
I do see what you mean, and I think it's a valid observation. So I'm going to take
initiative.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm going to take the initiative on this, and I'm going to see when we can make it happen.
That's all people are asking for.
Well, that's what they're going to get.
Okay. All right. David Kehoe, running for re-election. How long have you been in there?
This is my fifth term.
Fifth term. Has anybody run against you before?
The first time.
The first time?
Yeah.
Nobody's run against you since
then. That's correct.
Wow. I think it's good that, as who is it, Brent Weaver said, I think it's good when people run because you now are being very precise in what you're saying.
Right.
About things that have to happen.
Right.
And I think it's good that we come out and that we have that in every level. You know?
Sure.
So, and I appreciate you coming in here today, and I know it's not going to be the last time because we have...
I'll look forward to it.
Well, we have that June primary coming.
Right.
And so we need to get, you know, everybody on so they can really hear what you believe in and
sure.
what you want to do.
Sure.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, Carl.
You bet. Hey, tomorrow we got Trish Clark, and I'm sorry we got...